You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We are on the eve of week 11 of the big college football season. It's a really important time. We got the first college football playoff rankings out. And there's a lot of excitement trickling throughout the state of Utah. Right now, BYU would be number 7. That means they would play host to Notre Dame, which I think gets a lot of people excited here in the state. I don't believe that's going to hold up. We'll talk more about that in just a bit. But the other big news was the University of Utah, right on the outside looking in of that top 12 as they sit at number 13, even with 2 losses. We'll dive into that. We'll also take a look at some of the big matchups. Joining us right now, great friend of mine, great friend of the show, we have Antoine Staley. Antoine, it's always a pleasure to get you on. I look forward to these conversations, so thanks for carving out some time here on this Friday.
Yeah, big week with the college football rankings coming out, so yeah, it's a good time heading into the home stretch of college football.
No question. With the first rankings, were you surprised by anything, or did it kind of shake out the way you thought in the initial settings?
I thought they did well. I know, you know, I really don't, a lot of people don't really compliment the committee on a lot of different things, but I thought they did well. I only think I would have had complaints about, I would have put A&M at 2 and Indiana at 3, but it's kind of nitpicking out. 2-3 really doesn't necessarily matter, especially in this case where they're playing on a neutral field. So, but outside of that, I mean, I like the rankings. I think Ohio State being at 1, I think that was a good call there. Having Alabama, who's been playing really well as a late 4, obviously over Georgia, who they beat there too as well. And, you know, obviously, you know, BYU, I'm curious to see just kind of how, you know, they hold up too as well. They got a big matchup against Texas Tech this weekend, and that could also help catapult them in the rankings too, getting their win over a top 10 quality opponent.
Antoine, I think one of the big storylines, there are a lot of people that were upset at Notre Dame being number 10, and I don't really want to make this about Notre Dame, but I do want to make it a little bit more about head-to-head competition, which should be the ultimate, right? I mean, that's really what we have to base things off of. But seeing Notre Dame at 6-2 and Miami at 6-2, Miami beats Notre Dame head-to-head, the Irish are 10, Miami is number 18. While head-to-head obviously plays a massive factor, can we also accept the fact that really the timing of losses seems to be just as important? I think that right there is the true statement, right? I mean, the timing of losses matter.
Yeah, and also when you're how you're playing at the moment, that also matters. Like, I think, you know, Miami was playing like a top, you know, 5 team at one point in time, but they're no longer playing to that level. So I think you have to, you know, you have to evaluate. When you evaluate the rankings, you have to look at it like that too as well. So I think, you know, ultimately, I think that's why the committee decided to rank, you know, Miami where they did, and Notre Dame, which I think is playing much better than what they did early on in the season. Granted, they played a really tough schedule with A&M and, you know, Miami to start out with. But, you know, they've been playing much better than Miami at the moment, who, you know, end up losing to Louisville and obviously, you know, end up having the loss to SMU last week. So, yeah, I mean, they're not playing really well right now. And, you know, it's going to be questions, can Miami, you know, win out and possibly, you know, get one of those playoff bids.
Now, that right there, I think, is a direct, you know, we can draw the parallel, right? We can draw the line to the University of Utah being number 13. I think a lot of people were surprised by this, at least here in the state. But when you take a look at Utah's schedule, they may not have any marquee wins outside of just dominating Arizona State and dominating Cincinnati. I don't know how you really view those two teams. I don't know how you view the Big 12 in general. But the fact of the matter is they have 2 losses right now to Texas Tech and BYU. Both are top 8 when we look at the current poll. And, you know, I've said this several times. Texas Tech beat Utah 34-10. There's context to that. Don't pay attention to the final score. It was 13-10 with like 8 minutes to play in the game, and Utah had the ball. It looked like the Utes were going to win that football game. In the final 6 minutes, it was dominated by Texas Tech. It was a competitive game. 3-point loss to BYU. I'm sure that goes into where Utah is sitting right now at number 13. Also taking into consideration, they dominated Cincinnati and they dominated Arizona State.
Yeah, and also the conference. I think you got 2 teams in the top. I mean, 2 teams in the top 10 in the Big 12. I think that also plays a role too. And you know, Cincinnati. I know they end up losing last week, but they're 7-2 team there. Houston. You know, I know they had a really bad loss against West Virginia. They're also 7-2 as well. So I mean, they have a good quality conference. Is it the SEC? No, but you know, I think it's definitely one of the best conferences in America. And also, you know, they have a lot of balance and parity in that conference too as well. Obviously, BYU being undefeated, we'll see how long that lasts. guess. But I'm sure we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's a good quality conference, and I think that's partly the reason why also Utah is ranked where they are at the moment.
Well, and I think that this is what we always get kind of up in arms, right, about the first rankings. I think I agree with you. I think the committee did a great job. I don't have any problems with it whatsoever, and it's a rare thing that we can say that. On a rare occasion, we can sit here and say, I think the committee got this right, 1 through 12. But when we start looking at the idea of the Big 12 being a conference with three teams inside the top 13, I have gone over this in depth over the last 3 days. I don't see any way, shape, or form three Big 12 teams find a way to sneak into the to the college football playoff, which means this Saturday's game between BYU and Texas Tech, I view it as an elimination game for Texas Tech, not BYU. I think BYU can overcome a loss here since they're sitting at 8-0, but if Texas Tech loses this game, it's a death sentence for the Red Raiders. It kicks them out, which then, I believe, opens up an opportunity for Utah.
Correct. I agree. Obviously, Texas Tech already losing to Arizona State back on the 18th. Yeah, I think, you know, it's big there because, yeah, you can't afford another loss too as well. And if you were to lose there, you know, you're also behind the eight ball as far as the Big 12 championship too, and that puts you out of that too. So you don't have a way necessarily to try to get back in if that were to be the case with all the tiebreakers and, you know, extra things like that too as well. And obviously Cincinnati is also 5-1 at the moment too. So, yeah, I mean, it's huge. It's definitely a huge game for them. Yeah, BYU is, you noted, like, definitely undefeated there. They still have some opportunity. If they were to lose there, I still think if they were to win the Big 12 championship there, let's say they end up beating Texas Tech in the rematch there, I think they would get in. I think Texas Tech would probably get in, too, as well at that point. But, yeah, three teams is going to be kind of hard as well unless something just crazy happens and some of the teams in front of Utah just kind of fall a little bit and they can, you know, find a way to get in that top 12.
Let's talk about BYU for a moment. Again, on the road against Texas Tech tomorrow. This one is set for a 10 a.m. kickoff here in the state. So Mountain Time, 10 a.m., very early matchup on ABC. BYU is the ultimate question mark for me right now when I take a look at the top 10. I feel like I know what Texas Tech is. Even though they're sitting at 8-1, I think everybody's got a pulse on Texas Tech. You and I were talking about BYU before we hopped on air. And, you know, there was the Colorado game in which they found a way to win. I give them full credit for that. They found a way to beat Arizona. They found a way to come back and beat Iowa State. They found a way to beat Utah. They're not doing it impressively, but they're finding ways to win. And that's ultimately the most important thing in my mind, finding a way to win. However, tomorrow seems like a different beast with an offense that at times has been very one-dimensional. And you add into the equation that L.J. Martin is not going to be near 100%. Although he is going to play, he's not 100%. This is a tough task for BYU tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you just hit it right there. I mean, Martin being out, like, you know, with the unspecified injury really hurts them because they, as you know, they like to run the football pretty effectively there. And Batchmire is really going to have to step up his game, too, as well. Martin does play, it's like he's compromised. So, yeah, they're really going to have to find a way to throw the football there, too. And I think the matchup in this game is going to be in the trenches, too. Like, Texas Tech got some, you know, big hogs up there and on their D-line, too. I know BYU does on the offensive line, too. And I think that's going to be the tell of the game as well. Like, can BYU protect, you know, Batchmire consistently there? If they can, then they have a shot to obviously win the game. But, you know, if they don't, then he's pressured consistently there, and they're obviously not able to run the football effectively there, and they're in long down situations. Yeah, it could be a long day for them, especially considering they're going to be on the road in a tough environment, especially with College Game Day being there. First time since 2008 when Texas Tech is College Game Day has been in Texas Tech. So, you know, the fans are going to be fired up. So, yeah, they got to be able to throw the ball effectively and find some way to be able to run the football well, too, if they're going to have any chance to win this game.
And even if BYU gets out of this game with Texas Tech, which, again, that's the marquee win of the season if they do, going on the road, still you take a look at the final three games, and it's as difficult as any schedule in the country. I mean, you got TCU at Cincinnati and at home against Central Florida. What a difficult four-game stretch to wrap up the season.
Well, if they're going to get in the playoffs, then they're going to earn it. I'll say that. Like, they're definitely going to earn it with those teams there, too. Like, yeah, I mean, UCF, yeah, like I say, they should be able to take care of business, I think. But, yeah, at Cincinnati, at TCU, not necessarily slouch either. But at Cincinnati, that's going to be very tough. Whole task for him. But, yeah, I mean, especially considering, like, we'll have to see how the injury affects Martin, too, as well. Let's see if it's going to be a multi-week injury, too, as well. But, yeah, it seems like he is going to play there. It's just a matter of how effective he is, and they definitely could use him, especially down this home stretch.
Well, let's take a look at some of the other games that really will play a factor when we look at the college football playoff. And amazingly enough, a game that we get tonight is a huge game in Tulane at Memphis. I mean, you got Tulane at 6-2, Memphis at 8-1. When you take a look at the qualifiers for the college football playoff, this is a big game.
Yeah, it's one of two big games, I think, tonight, too, Northwestern USC being another one. But, yeah, I mean, it's huge. I mean, Memphis, you know, having that big-time victory over Central Florida, too, a few weeks ago there. That was a week after they ended up having that, you know, bad loss against UAB. It seems like now they've kind of, you know, got back to their standard of winning there. And, you know, obviously Tulane being one of the better Group of Five teams, too, as well. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing this matchup, too. And yeah, I think the winner has a, you know, head track on getting that, you know, possibly Group of Five bid too as well. But, you know, obviously Memphis, I think they've played really well. Their offense is really dynamic. You know, been dynamic outside of the UAB game, which is, you know, really head-scratching. But, you know, we're talking about a team that ended up having a one-point victory over Arkansas. And, yeah, I know the Razorbacks are not necessarily really good, but it's a Power Four team. So anytime you can have a victory over them, especially considering the proximity of Memphis to Arkansas and on the Fayetteville, you know, I think that's a big deal. So, yeah, I think I like Memphis in this game. You know, I think they're a better team there. I think their offense is so high-powered there. I think it's going to give Tulane some problems. But, no, I'm really expecting a really good game.
Again, Antoine Staley joining us right now as we talk some college football. Antoine, you mentioned Indiana. You would have placed them number three. I have no problem with that. I've also heard sides of the argument to say Indiana should be number one. I have no problem with that either, outside of the fact that Ohio State's the defending national champs and they're still undefeated. However, they have the best win out of the two teams. And this may sound crazy, but I am really curious to see how Indiana handles their business on the road tomorrow at Penn State. I know it's been a dumpster fire of a season, but I think anytime you have to go to Happy Valley, there's going to be a roadblock or an obstacle at some point in time. And so for me, it's a game that I am intrigued by. I know it's an early kickoff for us here Mountain Time tomorrow, but still, I want to see what Mendoza can do in Happy Valley. To me, it's just an interesting storyline.
Yeah, it's a trap game.
Yep.
That's basically what it is. This is the ultimate trap game. I mean, you're going in a tough environment. Penn State's having a really rough season there. Nobody's expecting them to win. Obviously, Indiana's the big darling there. They had the big win over Oregon, you know, early on this season. And now, like, people expected them just to kind of run the table and possibly finish really going to see the undefeated. But, yeah, I think, you know, Terry Smith, the interim coach of Penn State, you know, I know they've dropped five games, Penn State has, but I think they're going to have those guys ready to go. And, you know, they're playing with house money. Nobody thinks they're going to win. Nobody thinks they can beat Indiana. But, you know, they have talent on that team still. Like, we're talking about a team, Penn State team, we thought was going to be a top 10 team coming into the year. Obviously, that's not been the case, too. Obviously, Drew Holland also suffered an injury. But, you know, they got enough talent where they can make this really interesting there. I think it could be, you know, a really close game there. I think the Hoosiers take care of business. However, I wouldn't be surprised to be closer than what a lot of people think.
And I feel the same way about the LSU-Alabama game. I mean, you take a look at what Alabama did last week. They nearly got caught. they were sleepwalking through this game with South Carolina. But it's LSU on the same side of the equation, right, as Penn State. New athletic director has been fired. Brian Kelly has been fired. It has been a dismal season after starting off the year with a win against Clemson. This seems like an ultimate trap game for Alabama. How many times have we seen a good team, a talented team, revitalized after a coaching change? It doesn't last long, but it typically lasts for a week or two. This is another one that I say pay attention to.
Yeah, and also, and add on, it's a rivalry game. So yep. You also have to add on, too, as well. So anytime you get a rivalry game there, especially when, you know, you get that, you know, firing coach boost there, you know, I think it could, you know, be a close game, too, as well. I know Garrett Musmeyer hasn't played as well as a lot of people thought. I know the LSU offense in general hasn't been as good as a lot of people thought. But, again, they have talent on that team, too. And I think Musmeyer has, you know, done a decent job taking care of the football there, although, like I say, the yards are kind of a little bit below what I think a lot of people expected. But, yeah, I mean, Alabama's been sleepwalking the times there. They played down to their opponents. You know, we know LSU has a ton of talent. It's going to be up to them. I'm just being able to get up to an early start there, especially in Tuscaloosa, to try to make sure you take LSU out the game and let them know they have no chance of winning this game. If they don't do that, then, you know, it could be one of those instances where it comes down to the fourth quarter. But, yeah, I think Alabama will take care of it. I think they'll win. But, yeah, again, like in any rivalry games, all bets are off. So anything can happen.
Let's end with this. Now that we've talked about the playoff rankings a bit, we've talked about some of the big games. Is there a team that we have not mentioned that is on the outside of the top 12, maybe even on the outside of the top 15, that you look at and say, don't count these guys out yet? I like what they have cooking right now as we hit the home stretch.
Yeah, I mean, I like Louisville. I think Louisville has been really good. You know, they had the loss to Virginia. So, like, I think if they can win out there, they got a big game against SMU in a few weeks there at SMU. If they can win that, I think they could possibly sneak into that, you know, college football, you know, playoff ranking too. And also, you know, they still, you know, only have one conference loss, which was to Virginia. So they could still find their way into the ACC championship. So, yeah, if there was a team there, I think that's somebody I'm looking at too as well. You know, I would have said Georgia Tech, but, you know, losing to NC State like that, I don't know. And, you know, I think now with them losing to NC State there, the margin for error, especially when you got to play Georgia in the season, is a little bit lower. So now I feel like they have to beat Georgia because they end up having that bad loss. So, I mean, Georgia Tech potentially could be if they can find a way to upset the Bulldogs. But, yeah, that's tough. Definitely a tall task going to Athens, asking them to do that. Well, you know, I think the game's in Atlanta. So I think it's still a tall task asking them to beat the Bulldogs, especially in Atlanta, where it's going to be a large Bulldog contingency.
Let me throw one more team at you. What about USC? I mean, with four games left, Northwestern, Iowa, Oregon, UCLA, it's a tough, difficult stretch. Again, you mentioned it, USC tonight against Northwestern. A two-loss USC team absolutely gets into the playoff, right? Like, they're still in a spot where they control their own destiny.
Yes, I mean, they still got two games that I think, you know, well, this one too, if you count the Northwestern game, like, where they really could dictate their destiny. You got Iowa next week too as well, and then, you know, you got to go to Oregon in a few weeks there. They win both of those and then beat UCLA at the end of the year, and even if they were to lose, I think, in the Big Ten championship, you know, even if three losses, I think, the good case is they could be in too as well. I think, you know, I think they've been really sneakily, you know, good, you know, football team. I just think it's them being in L.A. and, you know, their games coming on late at night. I don't think a lot of people necessarily talk enough about them. And they don't have, I mean, they have two losses where you're just like respectable losses against Illinois and Notre Dame too as well. So, yeah, I think they have all the parts there to be able to be a successful team too as well. My Jaden Maivano has been really good too. I think he's been really low-key, one of the better quarterbacks in college football this year. And somebody that I think a lot of people have been talking about, you know, his NFL draft prospects too as well. So, yeah, I think if USC gets the two, if they only have two losses, they're definitely getting in. I think three, depending on who they lose to, if the third loss comes in the Big Ten championship, I think it's a good case to be made that they could be one of those teams they could also sneak into as well.
He is Antoine Staley, always kind enough to take out the time to join us. Antoine, before I let you go, where can we find more of you?
You find me at Antoine Staley on all social media platforms. Also find my work at the New York Daily News at nydailynews.com.
Yeah, you had a busy week with the trade deadline.
Yeah, that's an understatement. Yeah, just a little bit.
Covering the New York Jets is, I'm sure it's something new every day, right? Work is never the same.
No, it's never a dull moment. So, you know, it's never the same day. So I think, you know, at least it's not consistent in that way. So I think that's a good thing. It kind of keeps you on your toes.
For sure. For sure. Antoine, always a pleasure. Thank you again. Enjoy the weekend.
All right. Thank you.
We're going to pause one more time. We'll come back, put the final touches on this edition of the show. When we return, it's Drive Time Sports live from the Sutherland Studios.